Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, also known as the Triple F in my books, and also by Signs of Life Radio. We gather here on a monthly basis to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many topics related to the study of consciousness, the afterlife, spirituality, and whatever comes up. My name is Roman Karpichka. I'm your host. I'm excited to welcome Joanne Gerber to the show. Joanne Gerber is a gifted, internationally recognized psychic medium who is known for her natural ability to bring through very evidential messages from those in the spirit world. As a medium, she's demonstrated her abilities as a clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, attuning herself to this higher frequency along with the effort of those in spirit to allow the spirit communication to take place. She's also a research medium at the Winbridge Research Institute and is a certified medium with Triple F, and a member of Triple F's Medium Advisory Board. She is an ordained spiritualist minister, and she lectures, teaches classes and workshops, and holds demonstrations throughout the world, both live and online. Her best way to reach her is on her website at, it's just Joanne Gerber, one word, JoanneGerber.com. So ladies and gentlemen, just like for the last 6 months or so, our is commercial free, no interruptions. So, like I always say, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Joanne, just a couple of announcements. Bob's book is available on Amazon, The Medium Explosion. It's an amazing book. It's called The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. And the Netflix docuseries, Surviving Death, is streaming still on Netflix. So Bob and Fran and the Forever Family Foundation are actually featured in episode 4. And there are many mediums that we've interviewed on this show that have crossed paths with the Forever Family Foundation that are also on that show. Again, tonight's show is for research purposes only. Joanne will not be doing any readings tonight. The format we've been following the past couple of shows is, you know, we welcomed your questions. You emailed them in to the Forever Family Foundation. We tally them up and we bring them to the show. And of course, if you have any questions that you want to ask live, please feel to call in at 1-888-627-6008. And with all that, Joanne, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Roman. Thank you.
Thank you. Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, thank you. Glad to be here this evening.
Are you still in the Boston area?
I am, yes.
Nice. Did you guys get hit really hard by the storms, by Ida?
We got some rain, but not too bad. I mean, we're very fortunate. We don't get it too bad right near Boston. We were a little worried at first, you know, about the hurricane coming up the East Coast. Yeah. But, you know, try to think positive and just prepare. That's all you can really do. And so we're doing okay here. We're doing okay.
Boston's a beautiful city. I was there about a month and a half ago with my wife and two younger kids. And we walked the whole Victory Trail, and, you know, we did all that kind of stuff, saw Ironsides, and it was quite nice. Actually, it was right on July 4th that we did it,
There's a lot to see and do in the area, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, glad to have you with us, and, we got some questions from some of our listeners that are emailed in, so I'm just going to go and fire ahead, okay?
Okay, sure, that's great.
All right. So one person writes in the following. My son died by suicide, and I have heard different perspectives on what happens after death in relation to his life's purpose. I guess the question would be, what is your take on people that cross over suicide? What do they experience? What happens to them? And what do you feel? What have you encountered? What have you learned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I that's sad. It's very sad when somebody loses someone to suicide. Yeah. And I know from my own experience that when I connect with loved ones that have passed from a suicide, that they often come through very regretful and sad because they know what they put their family through here. Even though they will express that, you know, I'm at peace, some will say, you know, I didn't know any better, or I didn't know what else to do, or, you know, a lot of them may have, you know, issues of depression, mental illness, addiction. It could be a combination of things. And I know that when they get to the spirit side of life, they understand that they were part of their own death, and they know what their loved ones went through and are still going through and will probably go through for the rest of their lives here on the physical realm. And it makes them sad. But it also, most of the time, the loved ones will come through to give the message that they're not in pain anymore. They don't have the anguish or the anxiety or the depression or whatever led them to that choice about their life. And that, you know, that they watch over their family. A lot of them, like I said, are very apologetic when it comes to letting their loved ones know that they're sorry about what happened. And maybe they didn't think, they weren't thinking well, or they weren't in the right state of mind, or whatever happened right before they passed. I never had a loved one come through from spirit that committed suicide. They actually thought it was the greatest thing they ever did or anything like that. It's never like that. Right. It's never like that. Even though as much as peace they have, without the pain they went through here, it's still, they still have regrets.
You know, I don't know if it's courage to take one's own life, because I could not imagine taking my own life. That's got to be crazy. But I also think it's the opposite of courage. It's fear, you know, to take one's own life. You just can't go on.
And I think a lot of it, from what I see too, is a lot of anger that's directed more internally, because they can't get through their issues and they're just very angry, and they take it out of themselves. It could be issues with self-esteem. There could be, you know, an illness that they don't want to, you know, go through the pain and the treatments of an illness. There's many different reasons. Mostly, I find most of the loved ones that I communicate with, a lot of them are younger. A lot of them are in their teens or 20s or early 30s. I haven't had a lot of experience with much older people, a couple here and there, but more frequently it's the younger ones.
Right.
And it's really sad because they are so young. And they have so much in front of them, and things can change, things can be resolved, things can heal, but you have to be willing to participate in your own healing. If you're not willing to allow it and to receive the healing, then, you know, how much help can you give to somebody? You can't force them to do things. And we don't know what their path was in this life. We don't know what their karmic agenda was, so to speak, or why, you know, they had to experience what they did here for whatever soul lesson they had to learn. And also maybe their family too, as well. You know, there's always lessons there for more than just the person. It's always people around them, whether the same lessons or even different lessons. And that's why we have these people in our lives.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. That kind of, you're touching on a subject that kind of segues into the next question, which is, writer writes in, "We're just wondering what our souls or soul do once they pass over. Is there an organized kind of life, or is it just souls that are just hovering around? It makes me sad to think that some souls seem trapped watching us. Or am I misunderstanding? This is somebody called Karen that wrote that in.
Okay. So from my experience, I have never had somebody complain that they're trapped or in a place or stuck somewhere besides the spirit realm that they, you know, need somebody to come and say, hey, you have to go to the light or anything like that. They're not stuck in any place between here and there, and they're not really stuck where they are over there. They just don't walk around in limbo like maybe Hollywood would portray in a more, you know, in a thriller movie or a scary horror movie, how they kind of lurk around scaring people. You know, that's just Hollywood. As we know, communicating with loved ones is a very loving and healing experience. And they are doing things on the other side, just like they did here. For instance, I had a reading today, and one of my client's moms was had a poker club, and she was showing two aces together. And I know what that means in poker. You know, that's a good hand when you're playing poker. And she laughed and she said, oh, my mother's still playing poker on the other side. You know, things like that. It's like, do they really have poker games with their loved ones? They were all, my image, what I saw is they were all sitting around having coffee and tea, smoking cigarettes, playing cards and laughing. And, you know, when I conveyed that to the client, she said, that's exactly the way they would be if they were here. So I think they're also saying, you know, don't worry about me. We're still together over here with loved ones that passed before us. We're still, you know, enjoying a life, but it's not a physical life. It may be almost like a parallel life when we go to the spirit side of life, where we continue on and continue our learning, which I think that we do too as well. And also continue to do the things that we love when we were here. It's more of a conscious energy as opposed to a physical form when they talk about what they're doing, although I see it as if they were in their physical body in another dimension doing the things they did here. That's how the message comes through to a medium. But I never contacted somebody that said they were kind of lost and wandering on the other side. That's never happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard all kinds of, you know, stories and all kinds of people like yourself have expressed that, you know, there's loved ones there to greet you when you transition. You're never alone. It's basically for those that believe and those that, you know, have kind of researched it, it's an easier transition than those like that are adamant that there's absolutely nothing that happens after we die. We're just meat puppets. Would you agree with that?
Well, I know that it's an awakening for those people that are not awake here and aware that we're not just physical entities, that we are actually spirits, which are our energy in a physical body. And that energy survives the transformation or the change called death. And, you know, whether we understand where the energy goes or how they group together, we have so much to know and so much more to learn, even as not as just scientists, but as mediums as well. I don't believe that if we don't believe in something here that, you know, it's going to change anything when we pass. I don't believe that, but, you know, I do. I have talked to loved ones on the other side that were very religious when they were here and would not believe in life after death at all because of their religion. But they've come through on the other side saying, I never would have believed this. I never believed this when I was here, but I believe it now.
Isn't one of the definitions of religion that there's something after you die? Like one of the proponents of religion that you'll either be reincarnated or you're going to meet, you know, 70 virgins, or you're going to meet Jesus, or, you know, one of those things. Isn't there a message? Every religion has a message.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that they would, you know, these highly religious people would, you know, be very stumped that something happens after they die, you know, because. Yeah.
I don't know. I've always had a belief that there was something, even when I was younger and didn't know exactly what was God and who are we praying to? Can we see who we're praying to? Will we ever know? And where do we go when we die? I think since I was a very young child, I always pondered those questions and the question of life purpose. And I think that the more that we can learn here and open our minds, I think the easier the end of life will be for us, because we'll have an understanding, knowing that we just didn't go through this blessed life, because it is a blessing indeed. Yep. Every breath we take and every moment we're here is a blessing, mm-hmm. and especially now, and that, you know, we'll learn to appreciate things more on the other side, mm-hmm. And that, you know, we will have an understanding that we have lived a life, mm-hmm. and now we're in a different place, but we can still make connections with those we have left behind. I think that it's important to, you know, embrace some of that before the end of life, because a lot of people are afraid of dying, and they're afraid of what's going to happen. They're afraid if it's going to be painful, if they're going to go to another place besides quote unquote heaven, which I call the other side. And there isn't. Everybody goes to one place. You know, nobody goes underneath the ground, and nobody has a guy in a red costume with pointy horns on his head and a pitchfork. It's just, there's so many misconceptions about the other side of life.
I heard that there's one school of thought is, depending on your vibrational state, the higher your vibration, the higher you transcend into the next life. So that, you know, people with very, very, like, cruel people, you know, the Hitlers and the Stalins of the world, and just like,
yes.
the cruel, really, and there's a lot of cruel people in this world. Those people have very, you know, people that hate other people. These people have low vibration states, and they will probably transition to a world that is not as pretty or as loving as, you know, people that have, you know, you know, people like Mother Teresa, for example. I don't expect Mother Teresa and Hitler to be in the same world on the other side.
I've never experienced somebody awful like that coming through with a loved one. And oftentimes people will ask, you know, is my grandmother in the same room or the same neighborhood as Adolf Hitler or Mussolini? And you know, I would be trying to explain to them that it's not like that. You know, everybody just doesn't go to one pool of spirits. I like to look at it as different communities, different neighborhoods, which actually varies upon the level of vibration somebody leaves their physical body. Yes, I do believe in the level of consciousness, and that's why it's so important to learn as much as we can while we're here.
Yeah.
Because that's where our journey will continue when we go through that transformation, the change called death.
Yeah, I think we incarnated to learn some very hard lessons over here, because I believe we were spirits before we incarnated, and that we're going back to that world again, and that we're in the spirit world. It's kind of hard to learn the harder lessons in life, because I think I'm not sure, okay, but yeah. I think things are easier over there a little bit, you know, because you're not plagued with a body that decays. You're not plagued with disease. You're not plagued with, you know, personal relationships that might go wrong, you know, that kind of thing. There's a lot of obstacles and hurdles here that we have in this place called life on Earth that we just, you know, can't really experience unless we experience it, you know, being here, you know?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so I think we're very brave souls to have partaken in that, you know, and I think the bravest of us are the ones that have agreed to incarnate into, like, severely handicapped people, for example, that are going through life like we are, but with the added obstacles and added, you know, burdens that like somebody with cerebral palsy, for example, or, you know, there's so many hardships and heartaches in life, but to add all of these physical ailments to that. I mean, those hats off to them. To me, I think they're the bravest souls ever.
Yeah, I often think of that too as well, Roman, when I see somebody who's handicapped, and there's an office location down the street for the cerebral palsy mm-hmm. Organization, and they're right next to the post office. So I frequent that area of town quite often, and I see some of the worst cases. You know, they can't do anything. They're so handicapped. And I think about why, You know, why would someone come into a life like that? What kind of things did they go through in their past life that now they're or they're incarnating in this body? Absolutely. And also,
it could be a soul group decision. You know, I mean, the caretaker for that person, you know, is burdened with a big responsibility. And maybe these souls made a pact so that the caretaker can learn some valuable lessons. Maybe.
Yes, I do believe that is a good theory. And also, I do believe that when we come into this life and we experience our soul lessons, that, like you said, the caretaker has to experience lessons from that too as well. So it's not just for the person that's handicapped. It's also for their family and the people around them that have to take care of them. You know, it changes when somebody has a child and they're handicapped, it changes their whole entire life. We have a relative that has a son with cerebral palsy, and it takes such strength and courage for everyone to work with that and try to give this person a happy, the best life you can give them beyond their handicaps. And it's amazing the strength some of these people have. And I always say to myself, I don't know how, if that was me, how I could do that. You know, I don't know. Could I do it or not? It makes me wonder, you know. Of course, life is full of questions and so many questions about so many things, but it's good to be observant and to think about things on a deeper level.
Now, I also believe that I think that when we cross over, we don't become, let's say I die, I don't become omni-Roman. You don't become omniscient and knowing everything. It's still a mystery, this whole thing. And there's things to learn on the other side. You don't become all-knowing. You probably are going to know, hey, yeah, I do survive. That's great, you know. But other than that, I don't think you're that much smarter when, you know, because of death.
Right. I agree with that too as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you're a little bit smarter because you've gone through it, you know.
Right. You know, but you're not, you don't become like a master teacher right away unless you've done a lot of work here. You know, right. What we've referred to as ascended masters, teachers,
yep,
and guides, they must have had some experience here so that they can be in that capacity to someone here on the physical plane when they pass. So they've done their work here. You know, whatever they've done, they've had to do their work to get to where they are.
Yep, yep. Okay, I'm trying to look at my messages here. I just got a thing. I think we might have some callers, but contact. Very bottom, click chat. I'm clicking chat and it's showing that, listeners, I'm a little bit not very well versed. So listen, we have a caller that called in, and it's Anita from California. She's online too. So welcome Anita to the show. Anita, are you there?
Oh, great. I am here.
Welcome to Science Plus.
Yes, thank you. Wow, many different points that you've covered. I'm actually had been listening to that first question about the suicide and the sadness, and I'm certainly open as we each study, you know, and are open to what the afterlife is. So my question, my belief system has been under the impression that once we pass, we are met with everlasting love and forgiveness. So I am a little bit puzzled by the thought that they might be sad. Do you think it's like momentary? Because I'm thinking if they're surrounded by eternal forgiveness and love, that I'm still trying to figure out what your perception is on what, because if they chose, just like you were saying, somebody to come in and incarnate into a handicapped body, or somebody that did incarnate into a body that had mental anguish such that they would do horrific things, whether it was murder, suicide, genocide, you know, stealing, all the different vagaries of humanness. But that once they pass, that is part of the healing, is to understand eternal love in light of those transgressions.
Before you answer, can I just ask Anita, this message of eternal love after we, I liked the message, but I just wanted to find out where you received that information.
In my studies, I have to say, although I am Christian, I appreciate the philosophy of Buddhism and, you know, I just believe in a God of, I will say, God creator that is love-based, not fear-based, but love-based. And rather than in a punishing situation, I really do believe we're here to understand how to love in preparation for eternal love. And some people maybe don't get the complete lesson, but I do believe in forgiveness. So it's more definitely, I'll say, Christian-based, but I do believe in many of the references from other religious or spiritual beliefs.
Right, right. So, Joanne, go ahead.
Yeah. So, thank you, Anita, for calling this evening. And thank you for your question. So I do need to clarify that, because when you were talking about being sad, it is momentary. It's not like they spend their whole eternity on the other side being sad about committing suicide. What I was trying to convey with that is that the emotional aspect of the spirit stays intact. In other words, they feel for us. They know that we're experiencing grief. They know that we're missing, and that they're sad about that. They're sad that they had, that maybe they felt that they're selfish, that they did something too quick or for their own reasons, and they hurt a lot of people here, through how they passed, or, you know, the situation around their passing. So they do express remorse and regret. Many of them do. Most of them do. But it's not as if they're living in, some sort of, you know, forever damnation or something because of what they
got
did.
You.
Okay.
And that's my perception, yeah. That, yes, as if you want to call it part of their life review, or they understand maybe how they could have done better, what could have been, but
yes.
In that, that's part of maybe their learning on growth to their next level of vibration, if we want to say.
Exactly,
which
yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. They have to, you know, review their life and say, you know, what happened here? Where was it that you missed the lesson that brought you to the other side, or the situation around that? How could you have handled that better? How could you have changed? How could you have maybe, you know, made your loved ones, you know, let them help you with your issues instead of just reacting like you did, you know, extremely by taking your life, those kind of things.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Excellent. Yeah, well, thank you for clarifying that. That
and they are surrounded by love, and it's not just what you know, the religious belief of God's love, but it's love from their loved ones on the other side, their family, their even their pets, because we connect with our beloved pets on the other side too. They're part of our soul group, so they are surrounded by love. And it's quite comforting when you can tell a loved one that, you know, grandmother was there waiting for your son as he made the transition very quickly, that she knew that she had to be there to help him. And then she comes through. And so it brings a sense of security and peace to those who are grieving, knowing that their loved ones are not just alone. And like Roman mentioned earlier, some people don't have any conception of what it's like on the other side, or, you know, it could be something made up from what they see on TV. I can only tell you about my own existential experience, which is from working with those on the spirit side and what I have experienced. And I've never,
you
know, experienced anything but love.
Awesome. That I'm so happy to hear that, and thank you for sharing. And I'll drop off the call now. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you, Anita. And Anita, if you're still listening, there is a really good book that kind of describes the other side. One of the best books that I've read describing the other side was by Sir Monsignor Hugh Benson. And this was taken by media. It's a book that was written by the deceased Sir Hugh Benson, Monsignor Hugh Benson. And Anthony Borgia was the medium that clairaudiently took down all the notes and wrote the book, actually. And it describes Sir Hugh Benson's experience in heaven and what we can expect in the afterlife. A really, really vivid, extremely vivid description of what we can expect according to, you know, what was written by Anthony Borgia as dictated by Sir Hugh Benson. So if you Google Anthony Borgia, B-O-R-G-I-A, and Hugh Benson, put those in your Google search, you'll come up with this book, I think. And it's a free PDF that you can download. I think it's called Life on the Other Side or something like that. It's really, really good. But I just wanted to mention that real quick for Anita and for any of our other listeners that might be interested. I mean, once I started reading, I couldn't stop. I just read the whole thing next to me. It was just that fascinating. So, moving on. We got some more questions from some of our listeners. One of them is, thank you for the opportunity to participate on the radio show. My question for the medium is as following. If you can read for other people and communicate messages to them from their loved ones on the other side, does that mean that you can connect with your own departed loved ones as well? Thank you kindly. That's from Nerda.
I'm sorry, Roman. Can you reread that again? I lost some of it. I didn't hear the whole question.
Sure. My pleasure. The question really is, if you can read for other people and communicate messages to them from their loved ones on the other side, does that mean that you can connect with your own departed loved ones all of the time?
I do feel that absolutely, and quite the opposite is true as well. We can connect with our loved ones without being a medium, and without having to connect to, like, you know, other people's loved ones. We can always connect to our own loved ones. And it's just a process of trust and getting past the barrier of the logical mind that wants to say it's just your imagination because you miss them so much, or, you know, you're going crazy, you're making things up in your mind, they're really not here, they're gone, all about how we've been conditioned about what the afterlife is like on beyond a metaphysical or spiritual sense. So we're kind of, you know, beings of conditioning when it comes to our thoughts too as well, until we can, you know, open ourselves up and say, you know what, I'm going to try to make a connection with my loved one, and I'm going to totally trust it, and I'm going to totally believe it. And sometimes maybe you'll hear something in your mind, inside your mind, more clear audiently of the loved one's voice, something that they would say, or a memory comes up, something. I feel like they're very intelligent about synchronicity, about getting messages across in a way that is almost like meant to be, and just when you least expect it kind of thing. But something that the loved one would definitely know is a sign.
Interesting. Very, very cool. I like that answer. Hey, we have another caller. We have Mary from New York on line one. So, Mary, are you there?
I am. Hi, Joanne. Hi, Robin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I have a question for Joanne and you, Roman, I guess, as well, too. Do you guys think that everyone has a spirit guide?
Okay, so I would say yes, that we do. And a psychic may not know, or a medium may not know who your spirit guide is. They may not be able to tell you if you ask them. It's not like we have, you know, all the answers for everything. I always say that, like my own experience, no one ever told me who my guide was. I found my guide through meditation. And that proved to me that I have a spirit guide. And that spirit guide that we all have, and we have many of them, not just one, that spirit guide will help us wherever we are in our life, on whatever we're working on. And then as our vibration changes, as we change our choices or what we're doing in a life, what we're trying to achieve or accomplish, our spirit guides will change too. If I went from writing a book, I may have a famous writer working with me and helping to write a book if I'm not a good writer. And then maybe I like to try to write music or play an instrument. Then my guides may change to somebody who's more affluent to music. And and it can go back and forth, and it can it will constantly change. I've noticed that in my life. And I think that it's kind of, I don't know what the word would say, but when people say, oh, I went to a psychic and they told me who my spirit guide was, and it was a Native American Indian, you know, or it was a monk. There's too much of that. And I feel that it's not up to the psychic to tell you who your guide is. It's up to you to find your guide.
No, I get that. I honestly, I do. I guess my ultimate question is, if you do believe that everyone has a spirit guide or multiple spirit guides as you sort of wander this world, I meditate and things like that, or try to. It's actually more difficult than I ever thought. But like, how do you sort of try? How do you connect with that? And then, if you do connect with it, how do you know that it's real and it isn't just your imagination, or it's not something that you're like, okay, I went to bed thinking this, you know, last night, and I woke up and, you know, I have a name in my head, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and it's absolutely true. And that's one of the biggest battles I think we have, is between, you know, the left and right brain, that the left brain wants to be so logical because that's the way we are as humans. We need that, you know, all those left brain skills to get through life. But when it comes to something that is not logical, or maybe even our imagination, but we're not even sure if it's our imagination or real, then we question it because it's not something that occurs every day in our life. But the key to that is the spiritual practice. The meditation will help your energy achieve a vibration where you'll start to open up your third eye, and other things will happen. Your other mediumistic or psychic abilities or other things will happen. You'll make connections with guides and angels, but it's going to take time. You know, probably took me at least a couple years before I met my first spirit guide in a meditation. And I've met angels. I've had confirmation with experiences I've had with seeing angels. I'd never believed in any of this before I got into this, and it was all almost by accident when I went for a reading because my dog was dying, and I ended up taking classes, and one thing led to another, and I just opened up and started giving messages and giving readings, and I was in the perfect place. I was in Salem, Massachusetts at a New Age shop at the time, so I was right there and able to do readings and take classes. I was very fortunate. But I was able to learn how to make those connections. What do we need to do here as physical beings to spiritually transform and ascend ourselves so that we can be more open to realms that are not visible through the physical senses, through the eyes, through touch, through hearing, that it's more of an internal experience, our connection. It's going within ourselves and opening that door within ourselves to allow us to receive communication freely without, doubting it too much. It's developing trust, just like when mediums start to learn mediumship. I basically tell them when they start to do messages and they say, I can't get anything, I don't know if I'm connecting. It's the same thing. I tell them, just make it up. And when they make it up, you'd be surprised how accurate some of the things could be. Because when you tell somebody, oh, just pretend it's real, or just make it up, then, you know, you release the tension and the questioning and the doubting, and you just allow yourself to be an open channel. So it does take time to kind of retrain the brain to think another way. And you're also opening new neural pathways when you make connections. You're activating parts of the brain that maybe, you know, weren't activated ever, or using them in a way that they've never been used before. I don't know the exact mechanics of all of what goes on scientifically inside the brain. I'm sure there's a lot more that we haven't discovered yet. But I'm sure someday we will get closer and have more answers, as we have been getting. But, you know, I think it's just for you, my advice would be just to give it time. Maybe if you could get into a group meditation, even if it's online, doesn't have to be in person, then you would be able to open up a bit quicker, maybe, because you're working with a group energy. I always find working with a group energy, meditating with a group on a regular basis, with the same people, same time every week, it's like you're coming there to make a connection. It becomes a sacred space. Or you can do this at home alone if you don't want to go with, you know, join a group. But it does help. And then it also helps to have a facilitator or a teacher that can help you to understand the process of meditation and the acceleration and what's going on as you're evolving and you're ascending and your consciousness, your vibration is changing. It's very complicated for the beginner to really understand the changes that are going on in their brain and emotionally when they start to unfold. And I always advise it's best to practice with somebody who knows what they're doing, who can help to guide you, answer your questions, be in the room with you to discuss the meditation afterwards. A lot of teachers will discuss meditations. I would keep a journal if I were you, and just journal everything so you can see the progress that you've been making with your spiritual meditations and practice, whatever you're doing. I think that we have to observe ourselves to see the changes, or else we just feel like, oh, nothing's really happening here. But you may look back and say, geez, the first time I meditated, I didn't see anything for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now I saw the color purple, or I saw somebody's face. It looked like, you know, somebody's face floating in front of me. And, you know, your third eye will start to open up, and your chakras, and you will begin to have more experiences that will eventually prove to you that it's not your imagination. There's really no other way to prove to somebody unless they experience it, you know, firsthand, unless they witness it, just like when somebody has a reading. They don't know that their loved ones are actually okay on the other side, or even can communicate from the other side, unless they go to a medium and they get things, evidence that can't be found on the internet or Googled, things about, you know, the loved one's life, their memories with that client, and their personality, things that we can't find ordinarily, you know, in a place if somebody was to do the research. So I think with everything else, we're very much, as we are humans, we're inner skeptics about things. And it's good to be a skeptic too. You know, it's really good to have that, because it helps you to discern from what's, you know, from people that really are legitimate and those that aren't. Because, you know, I always say buyer beware when you're looking for a teacher or a class. Do your research. There's a lot out there, and there's a lot of people that can help you with that.
Wow, that was a very full answer, Joanne. Wow. I just want to add that you might want to also try guided meditations. It sounds like you're having a little problem there with the meditating. That voice inside your head's telling you that this isn't real or whatever, or doubting is your ego, and you got to learn to get around that ego, and guided meditations could help. Or like Joanne said, you know, get somebody to guide you in person, or a group where there's more energy. Those are all fantastic suggestions.
That's great. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for your call, Mary. And we have another call. Have a good night. Thank you, Mary. So, John, we have another caller. We have a gentleman, Tim, from Pittsburgh on line two. So, Tim, are you there?
I am.
Hey, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. You got a question for John?
Yes, I do. So, over the last 20 years or so, I've been able to do a lot of genealogy research, and I've been very fortunate in finding out a lot of information on ancestors who were born in the 1700s and early 1800s. Now, I'm able to go back even further than that, but I've actually inherited things from these folks, objects, pictures, what have you. I was just curious as to whether in any readings that you've ever done, whether ancestors that have passed away, you know, over 150 years ago have come through to folks. And if they have, is it harder to make those connections than to make a connection with somebody who has more recently passed?
Great question, Tim.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. So I always tell people, I get requests all the time from people that want to find out more about their genealogy, and they are asking if it would be good for a medium to help them with their genealogy and bringing through their ancestors that have passed. I always tell them it is not a good, necessarily a good form for that, because when an evidential medium works, like myself, we want to connect to those close loved ones. People usually don't contact a medium to connect with ancestors. We connect with those who might have been closer connections, or at least we hope to make connections with those that were closer connections to the client or the sitter. If I was teaching a class and a student brought through somebody from the 1700s with a kilt on from Scotland and asked if anybody could identify that in a group of, let's say, 10 or 20 people in the room, there wouldn't be anybody that could identify that. It would be so vague. They wouldn't know these people. They wouldn't know any information about them. When mediums work, they actually ask their spirit guides to work with them, and we kind of make requests. For instance, I make a request that the loved one come through showing me right before the age that they passed, because I want to get the age accurate. If somebody passed at 80, I don't want them showing me when they had a full head of hair, of blonde hair, or when they were 20. That's not going to help me to identify evidentially the loved one and connect with the sitter. So the same thing with the ancestors. I don't look for that information, because to me, it's not validating. To me, to bring through ancestors, generally people aren't looking to connect with an ancestor, as opposed to a closer loved one that passed. And with the question that you asked, would it be more difficult because the longer they're passed? And no, I don't think that's the case. I don't think time has anything to do with it. I've had loved ones come through that passed, you know, 50 years ago, and loved ones that have come through in a reading where someone has lost a loved one in the time that they scheduled the reading and actually had the reading to connect with a different loved one. So they come through. That could be, you know, a matter of a week or two or even days, and they're able to communicate. To really answer what you were asking for about, you know, is it easier? I would say it's, or harder. There's no difference in time with the other side.
Also, I think that the loved ones that have crossed over 200-300 years ago, I don't think they have any interest in connecting with you, really, because they don't know you.
Yeah, that's true, too, because, you know, how are you going to connect if, you know, you have if I say I have your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather here who, you know, lived in another country and never, emigrated here. You wouldn't know of them. You might have some information maybe from the genealogy, but the connection would be difficult. You really couldn't make that that spiritual connection with that person and have it be really healing, because they weren't part of your life. It doesn't mean that they're not there and that they can't come through, but they were not part of your life. You don't have a connection.
I understand. You're
not, yeah.
I understand what you're saying for folks that you know, you look and you find their birth and date, death date, and where they were. But I've been fortunate, again, to have information passed down to me regarding these folks. I had my great-great-grandfather was actually a sheriff and had other governmental duties, but also apparently was head of the Underground Railroad where he was. And I've been able to trace down those characterological traits that he had that have passed down five generations through different folks and their views of humanity. And so in that way, I feel with him and with others that I have a certain connection. They have a place of being within me is the best way to describe it. Sure. Now, that's not to say that I'm not closer to, you know, my parents who have passed and other loved ones that have passed more recently. But I also have, you know, an experience of these folks, their mm-hmm. writings, their letters during the Civil War, a variety of other things. And so I was just curious as to whether these types of situations have ever manifested in readings that have been done, in part because I did have a reading, and at the time I had not had any recent losses. The most recent loss had been about 30 years ago, and the person who was doing the reading kept saying to me, I've got people, but they haven't passed recently. There's a lot of, she was viewing it as a different type of energy that was coming through compared to what normally came through. And this is what she said to me, and we may have made a connection or two, but, you know, again, I never knew my grandfather, but I knew he was a physician and I have a ton of information about him, but he died about 15 years before I was born. He supposedly came through in a reading also briefly. So those you're types talking of things about, is what I was getting at.
Yeah, Tim, you're talking about grandparents and great grandparents, and they do come through quite often, especially if there's some sort of a connection where you may feel a spiritual connection with those people that you didn't even know. Absolutely. Loved ones do come through that we didn't know here. But when you say ancestors, I'm thinking like going back to, you know, 1600s, 1700s. You know, I'm not talking about just great grandparents or great great grandparents, because they do come through. So there is quite the possibility that somebody may come through, your grandfather or a great grandfather that you didn't know in a reading. Now, if you're looking to get in touch with the ancestor that came over on the Mayflower, I highly doubt it. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, going back that far in time, when you say ancestors, I'm going back, you know, back way back farther than that.
Yeah, the earliest one that came over was in 1628. So about 8 years after the Mayflower. But
okay. Well, still, that's still quite some time ago. So
True. All right. Thank you very much.
Perchance they could. You know, anything's possible, Tim. So perchance they could. But if you're looking to connect with that relative that came over in 1628 or whatever, I don't think you're going to have very good success with a medium. If you're trying to connect with your great-grandfather, and you have that connection, even though you didn't know him when he was here, but you have that, you know a lot about him and you feel a connection to him, then there's a very good probability he could come through.
Yeah, you know, people have said, well, people reincarnate, but there still is this connection such that you can make a connection with somebody even if they reincarnated.
Yes, and you can, because they don't talk about that. They don't talk about reincarnation. I've never had a spirit say, well, hey, I'm the man that delivers your mail every day, and I'm really your dad. You know, can you imagine how upsetting that would be to somebody if every time they went to go take in the mail, they thought it was their dad that reincarnated into their mailman or something? I think that's the reason why there's this, you know, kind of they don't talk about where they are or if they've reincarnated. What they want their loved ones to know is that they're around them. Their energy, their spirit that was once in their physical body still exists and can communicate with them back and forth, just like when they were here in the physical, but in a more telepathic way.
Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
Take care. And you know what, Joanne? We got about a minute left in our show. Didn't this hour just fly by?
It did. Where'd it all go?
we I think we bent the time-space continuum or something.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was totally fascinating having you on the show. Your answers were like incredibly full of just really good chunks of information. So I'm glad this session is recorded, because our listeners can, you know, listen to it again. To, you know, there's been a lot of information conveyed here. So I do urge everybody to, you know, to, when you have time, just, you know, go back and listen to the recordings. So every Forever Family Foundation Signs of Life radio show is recorded, so which is a great thing. So again, I want to thank you for being here.
And you're welcome. Thank you for having me. I had a great time with you on the show, Roman.
And time with you, Joanne. It was awesome. And until we meet again, remind our listeners that, as Bob and Fran used to remind us, that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it one day. I know it is. We're getting closer all the time. And have a good night, everybody.